Praise God. Well, President Trump has called a National Day of Prayer. Isn't that amazing? And we're having a National Day of Prayer. Nation, God's people are turning their hearts to pray, and it's good to join with every voice all over the world crying out to God for his help. And in times like these, God does his best work. Amen. God does his best work in the most difficult times. Bless them. All the emergency services, the people out there, bless them. Okay, well, the word that God has put on my heart, it's not going to be a long message this morning. We've kind of had time, worship, wonderful time, praise and worship and declaration. But this word is really important, and I trust that those who weren't able to be here will listen online. Just this one phrase from God, do not fear. Okay, do not. I don't, you know, there it is, an instruction from God. In the time of this shaking in the world, where you can get news every minute on your phone, on your TV, talking to somebody in a queue, if you're allowed to queue, workers, people in the office, at school, parents, the elderly, the whole world is in turmoil. And the most important thing that we need to know is God has compassion on all he has made. Okay, he has compassion. His heart is towards us as a nation. And if you ever hear any Christian saying God is judging us, tell them that that is not biblical. That we're in a time of grace. Grace comes. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Which is why we've been declaring, may the favor be upon you for 1,000 generations. Who deserves that? None of us. But favor is unearned. Not because we deserve it, but because he's good. And so we're here to bless. And everything that Jesus did is a mandate for all of us. He went around doing good. Not shouting at people, telling them, you know, how bad they were. Although he did make it clear that it was time to get right with God. But Jesus says to us, his own people, it's really important. We are God's people. We hear what Jesus is saying. Do not fear. The time for faith is now. Everything you have been prepared for is for now. We've been trained for such a time as this. This is our time to have faith in a God who saves and delivers and heals and always has and always will. You see, it's the enemy's favorite weapon, fear. It's one of his favorites. He's got like a toolbox of weapons. Praise God, no weapon formed against us will prosper. But one of his favorites is fear. Whether it's the church, a believer, or a whole nation. He loves it. And I think if you see an animal afraid, you have nothing but compassion for that animal that's shaking in fear. Or a child that has been frightened. And their just whole body is rigid. That is an awful thing to watch. And God is love. And he doesn't want us to be afraid of anything. Because Jesus has already set us free from fear. You do not have a spirit of fear. But you have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You do not have a spirit of fear in Christ Jesus. But the thing about fear is that it still tries to visit us. So we don't have a spirit of fear, but fear still pays us visits. especially in time of crisis or difficulty personally or as currently as a nation, fear is trying to visit you and me. And I have to be absolutely honest with you. I was a kind of watching the news from China when this first began. And I was thinking of the consequences of what was actually happening. You see, I partly know a little bit about my microbiology. And information doesn't often do you any good. The word does. Okay, so, hello? Because the word of God is what we need. But I, with my kind of training, I know the effect of contamination of people. You know, I know how things transfer, things you can't see. And so I was watching this news report, kind of building up this kind of, gosh, what's happening now, what's happening now? And you know, fear tried to pay me a visit as to what was going to happen to the people that I love here in the church. Because we're family. I love you. You're in my heart. So it's not, I'm not just talking about my own family. I'm talking about church. And the Lord said to me, turn it off. I was like, well, of course I know to do that, but I was listening to it too much. Did you know you can listen to news too much? And it begin to fill your heart and mind so much you forget the essentials of the Christian faith and what Jesus promises us in times of trouble. And so the utmost importance of the word, the promise of God in our lives, we have to turn up the volume on the word and turn down the news. I loved it. I heard somebody here said, the Lord told them to only listen to the news once a day. Because it's amazing how addictive news can be. Ooh, look, ooh, more, ooh, ooh. And you can be addicted to news and not addicted to a promise. And Jesus and what he speaks. So we need to make sure that when fear visits, we're going to do something about it and be determined not to have it. You are the only one who can do that for you. You have to be determined to say, I will not fear, as the Bible says. I will not. It's a choice. You say, I'm not going to. I won't let my heart and my mind go crazy in this time. I will not fear. And if you make that decision and be determined, when fear pays a visit, the door won't open and he won't come in. You know, certain visitors, I don't just allow into my house. You know, you get these guys coming round advertising something or you get a food delivery or whatever. I don't just say, come on in and have a seat. And we have to, as Christians, spiritually say, you're not coming in. This is my house. God lives here. And I'm not going to do anything to allow my heart and mind to be troubled. I'm going to trust in God and not let fear in. Now, the Word of God has real insight in Mark chapter 4 of a real time that was a threat to life. In Mark chapter 4. And everything is written in the Bible to encourage our faith. Not just interest. Oh, it would have been interesting to be in that situation. It's to encourage faith. To see how this worked out. This particular storm. Actually, it was a storm of hurricane proportions. It was a really bad storm. And this is a bad one. You know, there's no point burying your head. It's time to pray. And it's time to believe God. Because naturally speaking, this is not good. economically, businesses, how we manage life, how we look after kids, how we shop. What happens if you isolate and you're on your own? Who's going to come and help? All of these things, the conditions have already changed. But the good news, God hasn't changed. Okay? But we have to be aware of a reality going around. And that's what I love about the word. Faith isn't unreal. It just brings victory in a real situation. Faith isn't denial. It's a triumph over what you're in. And God wants us to triumph in this season, not just go through. We're not hunkering down. We're going to be the church victorious. But these guys in the boat, it's a story about a journey across a lake. These guys in the boat looked a bit like some of us have looked at certain times of our lives. And so we have nothing but compassion on these guys and how they felt. Because we fully understand when things really are going wrong. We fully understand what fear feels like and how it kind of works out. But the good news in this story are the keys to unlock a victory. And may the Holy Spirit bring those keys back afresh. You might know this story, but may you receive something from Jesus this morning that will help you unlock the victory of Jesus. After all, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I believe it. I believe it. And so in Mark chapter 4, we just read these verses and then just a short time of just looking at how Jesus leads his disciples to overcome. On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Now when they left the multitude, he took them along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I can imagine the way, the spirit in which they said it. I think they might have been a bit annoyed. "Don't you care?" I mean, you'd have gone, I can imagine them waking him. "Oi!" You know, Jesus is fast asleep and he goes, "Don't you care? We're going down." So this is real. They are at the point, naturally, of death. Death shouldn't scare us. Because he's broken the power, the fear of death, for those who believe. Even that, death has no victory over Jesus. We will all one day die, but we have no fear because of Jesus and what he has done for us. But these guys are in a now moment of need and turmoil. So Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, haven't we been talking about believing and speaking all year? Okay, are we still in what God has been saying to turn a tide, to turn things around? Jesus rose and rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. Wow, it had been amazing. Like this. Like it took the wind out of the enemy's sails. Came to nothing. And a great calm came over the sea. You know, just went peaceful. And he said to them, his disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you don't have faith?" Why? Now, you and I might have sat down with Jesus and say, "Well, look, guys, we just need to talk about this, Lord. Why were we so scared? It's because it's real. Can I describe to you, as people experts in the room or in the boat, we know that this is something that's going to take our lives. And so Jesus says, why? So he doesn't see a reason to fear. I just want you to elevate your mind and your faith at the moment. Jesus says, why are you afraid? Because he's always saying again and again, do not fear. There isn't a reason in the mind of God for us to be afraid. That's a good statement. There's no reason in the mind of Jesus that we should be afraid. And then he says, basically, where is your faith? Now, waves come in, often faith goes out. Yeah? That can happen in our lives. The waves of problems, the waves of the news, the waves of the enemy's lies and saying how bad it's going to be and how terrible it's going to be and how everything is lost. God says, where is your faith? Now, the beginning of this, if we go back, reverse right back to the start when they left the shore, the conditions were good. Okay, so Jesus speaks most often before something happens because he loves us. And he gives a promise before a storm if we are listening. Which is why I can be so confident to say we've been hearing God and preaching about prophesying a promise to turn a tide. Aren't we grateful? The Lord's already said it. He's already given promises. And those promises aren't just launch out, go. He said, let us cross over to the other side. In other words, the promise isn't going to end in the middle of the lake in a storm sunk. You can't sink the Messiah and his people. Amen. You can't sink Jesus and his people, his church. We're on board. But we pay careful attention to what he did say. His promise was, you'll get there. That's where we're going, and I've said it, and it will come to pass. So much of what God has spoken to you and to us as a church, that's where we're going. And the storm might have changed the conditions we're in, but it hasn't changed what Jesus said. His promises have always been yes and amen. And the outcome will be as Jesus says it will be. Praise God. Now, if the enemy's favorite tool is fear, God comes into our lives through faith. Everything God does is through faith, through trusting him. That's the law of God. That's the only way God works, is if you believe, according to your faith, it will be done. Jesus says, only believe to a man whose daughter was at the point of death. And then died. The news came that Jairus, his daughter, died. Everything got worse in the journey for Jairus. And Jesus says, the only thing you need to do is trust me. Do not fear, but trust me. Trust what I have said. Thank you, Jesus. The comment is just so interesting from the disciples. We're perishing. What a confession. But of course, there hadn't been in Kingdom Faith Southwest for the last 3 months hearing that you don't have a negative confession, because what you say is what you'll get. But of course, they hadn't been here. Just thought I'd say it for real. Believe in your heart and speak. Move mountains, turn tides, change things with your faith. With fear, we will perish. Because Jesus is the man of faith. We know he's the Son of God, but he's fully man. And it was a man under God's anointing that dealt with the tide, the waves, the storm. It's a person. And God has ordained that we take dominion and use authority in this time to bring the reign of the kingdom. Jesus says, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And do you remember the lovely little promise at the end of that? And nothing shall by any means harm you. Do you have any believers in here? Nothing shall harm you. It's like an Old Testament promise, isn't it? He will preserve you from all harm. Psalm 121. Psalm 91. No harm will come near your tent, your dwelling place. And now in the New Testament, Jesus said, I've given you authority. Why? Because you need to use it. And speak to this. Command this virus to stop. But the disciples, you know, they're saying what they believe. They're saying they believe they're going to go down. And so they wake Jesus. And this word is really interesting. And I just want to unpack something just so you understand the broad view of this word perish. Okay, there are kind of two types in my understanding of perish in the Bible. There is this time and season that we're in as a church within the nation. We're different to the nation, but we are part of the nation. And naturally speaking, men's hearts are failing through fear. Because there is a real virus going round. Okay, so that's what's happening. You know, Jesus, in the word, it didn't say there wasn't really a windstorm and it wasn't really a threat to life. The word is clear, it was a threat to life. So it's not unbelief to say this is bad. But the perishing they're talking about is this, in this moment, we need a miracle. Okay? And there can be temporary things that happen in our lives that we need God to save us from. Whether it's we need a healing or whatever, you know, you might have what you view as time to go. But in this time, God wants to save people from this situation. He wants to save the nation from economic chaos. He wants to save businesses. Very important that we understand that God doesn't want us to perish, because that's the heart of God. He cares. Because the disciples said, you don't care. You don't care. And the disciples actually were doubting God loves them. But God loves us. And one of the most important things about not fearing is that you understand and know that God loves you. And he cares about you, and he cares about me, and he cares about those we care about, and he cares about businesses, the NHS, he cares about the government, he cares about the nation, he cares about the children, the schools, he cares. After all, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. So there is this temporary perishing. But Jesus also used, the word of God uses this word, perish, for eternity. So we have this temporary thing happening that God can save us from. But Jesus' view, and he always wants us as a church to have a broader view than the current problem. God sent his son into the world that all who believe will not perish, but have eternal life. So there are two kinds of perishing going on. One is sickness, but and physical death in the nation. The other perish is an eternal, far worse than dying from a virus. Because if you perish eternally, you will be forever separated from God in a place Jesus called a place of utter torment and outer darkness. And so Jesus came to save people from perishing in our daily lives and families and work and just people. He loves people. But he came to save us from perishing eternally in our sin. This is the best time to see people saved. People need to be asked the question, do you have peace with God? If you have a relative who is elderly, ask them, do you have peace with God? Are your sins forgiven? Do you know that you've received Jesus as the way and the only way to God? And Jesus has come to save us. Two ways, temporary and eternal. Unless you repent. You know, when Jesus had some people come to him, like a bit of a news report, like, you know, you didn't have a phone with an app that gave you the news, or no media like we do today. But there's always been the news by mouth, hasn't there? And so these guys came to Jesus and they said, Lord, there was this terrible thing happened to people. Pilate killed them on their way to sacrifice. Are they worse sinners than the rest of people in Jerusalem? In other words, the reason we're alive is because they're terrible and we're good. And then they reported the news. There was another disaster. This tower fell on 18 people and they were killed. And these accidents, these natural disasters were happening whilst Jesus was walking round the earth. And there always will be disasters until he returns. Hello? Because only one day, when we're with him in glory, will everything be perfect. And Jesus spoke right into these disasters and he said, no. Like, it's not better or worse because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us, without Jesus, could be right with God. But Jesus said these words, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And I can't bear the thought of people perishing eternally. It's bad enough that they lose their life with sickness or a disaster. But really think about it. Hell is real. Which is why Jesus says they will perish. Not they will go into nothing. They will perish eternally. And Jesus says, unless you repent, and he speaks it over all of us, turn from your sin and believe in Jesus. It doesn't mean just once. There's two words for repentance. There's the initial, I turn away and believe and receive Jesus as my salvation. And I can know that when I do that and confess him my Lord, I am saved. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I am in Christ. But it's a life of repentance. Jesus also spoke about continuing a life of repentance. Not going back to your old way, but following Jesus right through to the end. And so the most important message of the church to our world today is there is a God who forgives sins, and it's time to turn away and believe in Jesus. Amen. Your family members, those who are fearful, say, well, unless you repent, it'll be worse than a virus, because it's eternal. And so in this time, we believe and trust in Jesus. But we also believe that there is a message that we are carrying that is for everyone who doesn't yet believe. And we need to be communicating the gospel of peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Not shutting down, but speaking out. Fear has this thing of shutting us down, but Jesus says, speak out. Declare it from the rooftops. You know, I've been thinking, if I had the solution, gosh, I would love it as well, to a virus. Imagine one of us came up with a solution. Yeah, it'd be amazing. Wouldn't you just feel so blessed to have an easy solution that everybody would can't be immune from a virus? But we have the solution for the virus of sin, don't we? That is actually leading people to eternity without God. And so if we don't share, if I didn't share the immunity, I'd be very selfish. Oh, it's all about me. Make sure I've got the immunity. Oh, it's all about me. It's all about my life. It's all about, am I going to make it? We're here for the world. We're the church. We're the church in this time to bring hope for someone else. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when fear comes, as a church, as an individual, we do three things. There are three P's I'm going to leave you with, and then we're going to pray together. Remember three things. We have his presence with us. The disciples kind of temporarily forgot who was there in the storm. We've got to get back to fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is with us and will never leave us or forsake us. Secondly, we have his promises that could never fail. The thing about God is he never lets us down. Every word he says, he will fulfill. Every word of scripture, every promise is yes and amen. So we have his presence, we have his promises, but we also have his purpose. The reason the disciples were going through this storm to the other side was to reach one person. I want to reach somebody and bring them lasting peace. What about you? The nations are shaking. You know those harvesters that some people use, machines? Where, I don't know, that they might use it for apples, used for cider, because it doesn't matter if they get bruised, but almonds. I looked on Google, and they've got these machines. They come up to a tree, and they kind of bring the machine round, this hold around the trunk, and then they kind of put a canopy around the tree, like a curtain, in a circle. I love it, I thought, clever. And then the machine goes shake. And in the shaking, you know what happens? The good stuff falls and you catch it. The nations are shaking. But the harvest is going to be reaped. The harvest is going to be reaped through people like you and me bringing a word of the need to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for life eternal. I was sent a prophecy, and this man in, I think it was June last year, prophesied a great shaking in China, starting in Hong Kong, moving to China. and then seasons of great shaking coming. And I was like, this is before China was hit with a virus. Do you know that great, powerful nation has been brought to its knees by a virus? And the church in that nation are rising. Amen. Same in South Korea. It's going to happen in the Middle East. Christians all over the world are saying, there is a God who saves temporarily and eternally. Amen. And I was reading this prophecy sent to me from an Italian friend. And they spoke about the shaking being for a harvest. And I'd already had this picture of this machine shaking a tree. It's really in my spirit that there is a shaking going on. But like all the almonds are falling out. It's time they're ripe. It's like, come on, let's reap. It's time to reap. It's a time to reap. It's a time to reap. It's a time to reap. I'm saying it again. It's a time to reap souls for the kingdom of heaven. And this pastor wrote something back about this this prophecy. Because they were kind of immersed in Wuhan, which was the beginning of the outbreak in the whole world. It all began in this place called Wuhan. And this pastor wrote and said, thank you for sharing. I read this prophecy and I realized that God had already prepared the way for this time. And you know what she said, this pastor in Wuhan? She said, once we dealt with the fear, can I repeat it? Once we dealt with the fear, we went out to minister to those with coronavirus, to heal and save and bring them the gospel. That's our family in China. So no wonder God says to us, don't fear. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Use your authority, rise up and rebuke. See, Jesus rebuked the wind that was causing the waves. And he spoke to demons in exactly the same way when he addressed demons in people's lives. He spoke to the demonic power. This is from Satan, this virus. And we've got to rebuke it. Use our authority. But then he said, peace be still. And the turmoil, my heart is moved for our nation, for our government. If you don't have a heart for the government, you're not really praying. You need to pray for your government. Don't just point the finger and be political. Be spiritual. Let's carry this nation in prayer. Let's carry the National Health Service. Bless. Every time I drive past, anyway, by habit, Musgrave, I bless, I pray. I just pray and ask for all the workers that I know from the church here. I pray for them. I'm praying for businessmen and women. Guys in the church, you guys, I'm praying for you. We're praying for you. But we need to pray for the whole nation. It's a time, but it's a time to not fear. And you know, I live under the word of God, like I trust as a follower you do. If God says don't, I won't. I've just decided to do what he says. Okay, Lord, I won't. I'll turn down the TV and the news reports and I'm going to turn up the promise. And I'm going to believe it and speak it and rebuke the enemy and pray for creative ways that I can get out there to help, to shop, to be there, to phone, but also to heal and bring the gospel that brings peace eternally. See, we are the church, not just because we meet here. I literally will miss you if we can't. And I hope you'll miss each other meeting together. But we must stay together connected. As families praying together, phone calls across connect groups and just different people. Just keep being church, but also keep being church in the world. We're sent to bring the good news, but we have His presence, His promise, and His purpose. And that's what happened to this church in Wuhan. They dealt with the fear. Beloved, are you willing to deal with that? And say, well, I've got His presence, I've got His promise, and I'm in His purpose. And God is going to use me to not just be safe personally, but to advance the kingdom. He's shaking the tree, and I want to be a bit of that canvas underneath going, come on then. Catch the fruit. Let me help you, bring you into the storehouse, get you discipled. Just let's be the canopy, ready, in place, in this time of shaking, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So do not fear. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.